This is Civios, your source for public affairs research. A podcast from the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota.
In this episode, we are talking with Professor Jerry Zhao of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. Professor Zhao is the director of the Institute for Urban and Regional Infrastructure Finance. He's a native of China, and his research focuses on public budgeting and finance, specifically how local governments generate sufficient revenues under increasing challenges. Welcome, Jerry. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about your work. First of all, can you tell us a bit more about your research in this area?
Okay, thanks for having me here. I study public budgeting and finance, and with a focus on infrastructure finance. So basically about how we pull together resources to fund those big investments that are critical for our society.
Can you say more about that? What drew you to this area of focus in your work?
Well, I used to be an urban planner back in China, and then I studied public budgeting and finance in this country. And ever since I joined the Humphrey School, those two lines of interest just naturally intersect with each other, and that's why I'm here right now doing this research.
As the director of the Institute for Urban and Regional Infrastructure Finance, I'd like to know more about the genesis of that research center.
So, well, it's about infrastructure finance, so that's big money for infrastructure investment, infrastructure facilities. And I purposely call it urban and regional because, well, we certainly care about a lot of issues in the urban area, but also issues in rural area, and also the dynamics between urban and rural areas. And that's the perspective, how we look at those issues.
Explain the role of big money as it relates to the infrastructure system.
Infrastructure could be defined in many different ways, and that could include economic infrastructure like transportation, like water, and it could also include social infrastructure like education. And those are fundamental services for the public, and many times we may take them for granted unless something goes wrong.
Your work also focuses on public service delivery, and you dig into service decision-making to help people see patterns. Can you explain what you mean by patterns?
Mm-hmm. By decision-making, I'm talking about how federal, state, and local governments make decisions about capital projects, about money that will be spent for those infrastructural facilities. And right recently, we have a project supported by the Volcker Alliance. And in that project, we are looking at how states document their needs for infrastructure and how they disclose those information. And overall, I think that the transparency is quite low. We still need to know more about what's going on.
Talk about how the U.S. is doing in its own infrastructure investment. How do we compare with other developing countries?
Many people would know that in this country, we may have been lagging behind severely in infrastructure investment in recent years. And myself, I travel back and forth between U.S. and China. I'm doing my research in both contexts, also in some other countries. What I have noticed is that, interestingly, those countries, they are facing similar kind of challenges, but they have taken different solutions and they accomplish in different ways, but also have troubles showing up differently. I just feel that we have a lot to learn from each other, and many experiences, global experiences or comparative experience will be helpful for U.S., for China, and for many other countries. Like one interesting contrast is that for some infrastructure sectors, like maybe transportation, in China, the government has been really eager to invest, and big money has been poured out in the past several decades, and we see amazing developments. But the downside there is that the country has a really, really high reliance on borrowing, And some of the borrowing, actually, they are not coming with a good guarantee, or those borrowings are not coming with the support of sustainable ongoing revenue sources. And that would create some challenges about fiscal sustainability. And in our side, the government have been more cautious in taxation, but overall, it could lead to a situation that overall the country may be more conservative, a little too conservative in making big investments that are good for the future.
How do we fix that?
One of the key themes in the research agenda of our center is about infrastructure funding and financing. I like to distinguish funding and financing. Funding as revenue sources that got to come from either taxation or fees. Those are real money. And financing are the ways to leverage resources for the near term, but they will still need to be payback in the future. And in this country, I think we have really sophisticated system about financing, but I think the problem is a little bit in the political unwillingness to levy sufficient taxation to cover those critical infrastructure.
Is there an opportunity here at the intersection between public and nonprofit organizations to work differently together? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. There are a lot of opportunities to see governments work together with individuals, with the community, and even with the business sector. And like one example is one line of research that I have done for several years called value capture. And the idea of value capture is that infrastructure improvements often lead to property value gain or enhanced business activities. And many times, if individuals or the business sector can see that benefit, they may be willing to contribute part of that initial investment, and that would lead to a win-win situation.
Sometimes there's a major event during our career that has a significant impact on the direction of the research. Has that happened to you?
I came to the school in the year of 2007, and right after I finished my interview, right after I got my offer, and then I heard the big news about the collapse of I-35W bridge. So that was the bridge that I had passed many times, quite several times in my interview, and it's so close to my office. And we all know that U.S. is a really advanced country in its infrastructure system, but something like that just happened. So there are a lot of issues that may be hidden and people don't realize them. Infrastructure finance issues can be really complex. I think it has many reasons. It involves big money. It involves decision maker from many different parts and many different players. And it also have benefits that are long run and sometimes less certain. Those facilities tend to be less visible than other policy issues. So many times they are not in the forefront of policy discussion unless something goes bad. And so that's part of the reason that some more research in this area to enhance the public awareness of the issue and also to inform policymakers about problems and possible solutions will be really helpful. Overall, I read that there are many bridges in this country comes with some structural issues. To fix all of them, it takes big money. And, well, the U.S. About 5 or 6 decades ago had the interstate highway system completed, and once it was the most advanced one in the whole world. And that has led to big impacts of economic development. But right now it's the time, it's a critical time to upgrade them and to fix them or to keep the maintenance. And there are actually huge gaps out there.
Can you talk about the policy implications of your research?
Several themes of research in my center have different implications, like the research on infrastructure funding and finance would bring in the understanding that it takes the whole village to support those infrastructure. It takes federal money, it takes state resources, it also takes local efforts, and it's helpful to have individuals or communities and even business sectors to contribute. So that's one line of the research. Another line is about decision-making mechanisms or capital budgeting. Overall, actually, although most state and local governments in this country have some processes for capital budgeting, and the whole system is really limited with very limited information, very limited methodology, and very limited level of transparency.
Let's broaden the scope even more to an international level. Originally, you were an urban planner in China before you studied public financing and budgeting in the U.S. Talk about the comparison of public financing between China and the U.S., specifically the pros and the cons.
It's very interesting that in structural finance, people are often talking about traditional methods versus innovative ways. And to me, it seems that the Chinese government has not developed sophisticated ways of traditional taxation or traditional governmental borrowing systems, but they have been innovative or they have been really experimental in trying out new methods like public-private partnerships. On the other hand, in this side of the continent, the U.S. has well-developed funding system, but we are less adventurous or we are less innovative in trying out new ways. So I really see the needs for the two countries to come together, adopting some experiences from the other side and to enhance the way that we are doing things. I think awareness is always the first step. Be aware of the urgent issue that lacking infrastructural facilities would have big negative consequences, and be aware that there are many solutions that are around, and be aware that there are experiences about those solutions that we can all pick up from each other.
What new questions have come up for you, and where do you think your research is going to go to next?
One additional aspect of the research is about the impacts of infrastructure investment. And traditionally, when people talk about the impacts, they focus on the economic side. Increasingly, people are also thinking about the equity side and also the sustainability impacts. And the way that I see it, the efficiency side and the equity side, actually, they are always intersecting each other. While many infrastructure facilities would create benefits, the distribution of that benefit may not be even, and the cost to share or the burden for infrastructure investments are also uneven. And so even that economic impacts, the benefits itself would have inequality complications there, inequality implications. And for this line of research, I started by studying the impact of infrastructure improvements on housing values, on property tax revenues. We are also trying to find out the connection between infrastructure improvements and employment growth. So those are some of the directions that we are looking ahead.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Civios, an initiative of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. To learn more about this segment, please visit civios.umn.edu.